What a beautiful moment it'll be when your wife walks into the bedroom and says, I'm going to waterboard your dick.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another pointless waste of time on a Saturday night. That's all I do is waste your time. I'm Josh Hadley. With me, as always, is the cat. Not a cat, the cat. There is only one.
There can be only, like the Highlander, I will come all around and pretty much chop people's heads off.
Well, that got
dark. Was I not supposed to say that out loud? That I didn't just say that in my head, did I? Shh.
I'm okay with it.
And see, Charlie's okay with it because he's used to getting heads in the mail, or getting head, either way.
What's in the box?
You weren't whiny enough with that.
What's in the box?
But you want to know what could be in a box, or going into a box, or coming out of a box, or eating a box, or it will arrive in a box, would be adamandeve.com. If you go there and use the promo code WHAT, you would get 10 free gifts. You'd get 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free U.S. shipping. And it would come in a box. There's a double entendre with that.
Okay, I know that you've had a lot of great segues into the Adam and Eve promo on this show, but that one would have made Dr. Seuss come in his pants.
I'm sure you can find something at adamandeve.com to get you to that point, too.
Tradition.
Okay, was that your Dr. Seuss voice?
I've never heard Dr. Seuss talk.
Me either, actually.
He's the godfather of crazy-ass gibberish, but I've never actually heard his voice.
We're going to talk about something stupid, as if what we have been isn't stupid. In this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Now, I don't eat at McDonald's. In fact, I avoid McDonald's any way I can. Do either of you eat at McDonald's ever?
Sometimes if I'm truly desperate, I might drive through.
I've given up on McDonald's completely. It's been about 6 months since I've eaten McDonald's.
You guys usually pay in money, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Typically, that is how commerce works in this country. Typically, I mean.
The economy, am I right, folks?
Well, February 2nd through the 14th, McDonald's will be honoring hugs and love as legal tender. Yeah, first, there's no way this backfires on them. Not at all. They will randomly select people that look like they could use a little bit of a break, which I think should be their employees, that they will say, in place of paying with money, commit an act of love. Hug your son. Give your wife a kiss in front of everybody. Or just spread hugs and express your love. Hugs for food. Well, if you can call McDonald's food. Absolutely no way this backfires, huh?
This is a case of, these are good intentions. This is really McDonald's trying really hard to make themselves not look like the soulless corporation that they are. And I kind of like the general concept of what they're doing, but it is just like, we all know that they are a heartless, soulless, just cold, 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 non-existent person. Like, they are just evil in their own little ways. It just seems sort of hollow coming from them to do something like this.
You can't pay your employees a living wage, but customers can pay for a crappy prefabricated, quote, shake by giving a hug.
I mean, if they were, like, feeding the homeless, like, real food or something.
The homeless, not, I think you mean their employees.
Yeah. You know, and not people, like, basically using the idea that they are a kind and giving organization to bring more people in to eat their not really food. Like, I don't know. It's just sort of hollow coming from them. If it were anybody else, it might be okay, but it's so hollow. That would be like if Walmart tried to do something charitable, or like, no, I don't believe it coming from you.
I don't think this goes far enough. I this has captured my imagination. I want to know, like, A, who is tracking this? Like, how can this be verified? And B, the bigger the act of love should be worth more food. I would like to go into a McDonald's and provide some sort of proof that my wife gave me a blowjob during the Super Bowl. That's one of the most loving things anyone has ever done for anyone else. I want to know how much food that is worth and whether or not I can just stand up on the counter and say, it's on me tonight, guys.
Well, there's that. But then there's also the fact that it's supposed to be random, that the employees will decide who can pay with love and who can pay with money. No way racism's going to pull into this, huh?
Yeah.
There's no way, like, the Alabama McDonald's is only going to choose to pay with love for the white people and whatnot. No way this backfires, right?
This is a lot like prostitution, only worse because it involves McDonald's. Regular prostitution is only one kind of bad for you.
Well, and let's also point out the fact that McDonald's sales are down. They can't pay their employees a living wage. and the commercial for this ad cost them $4.5 million for a 30-second spot in the Super Bowl this week.
Jesus Christ.
And now they're going, giving away food for love.
Take that money and divide it up amongst all McDonald's employees.
Give them a quarter raise.
Something.
Again, you could be putting this towards actual acts of charity and not hollow acts of charity, but you chose not to.
Exactly.
This is why China laughs so hard at America. It's stuff like symbolic hugs and like everything like this. It's America looks like the HR friendly office to China, who's like a loose cannon cop who gets results.
You know what? If I were a McDonald's manager or employee, though, I'd inner city New York or, you know, Chicago or something, Milwaukee, you find the chick that looks the most like a prostitute and then have her give free love to, you know, some other employee. You go down on him and you get your cheeseburger. I would so abuse this if I were an employee, but that's me.
I would love that if I were an accountant. Like, it would make taxes awesome.
Well, see, the reason we lost these cheeseburgers was hugs. This is stupid. This is just idiotic, I think.
Yes, I can sort of agree with Kat. It is well-intentioned, but McDonald's is just so misguided.
Well, speaking about stupid and not even well-intentioned, did you guys see what Taylor Swift did this week?
Oh, do tell.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
Well, okay, apparently, and I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, apparently she had an album last year called 1989. Well, she just went and trademarked Party Like It's 1999, This Sick Beat, and 'Cause We Never Go Out of Style, and Nice to Meet You Where You Been. She just trademarked all of those phrases. So now she is the only one who can legally use those phrases without paying her. Is this gone too far?
Short answer is yes. This is just crazy-ass celebrities being crazy-ass celebrities. I mean, I would like to see her pay the lawyers that she would need to keep stationed throughout the world 24 hours a day, keeping track of who uses those phrases, which one of those, by the way, should be copyright written by Prince, if anybody. That was his thing. She's just...
Well, copyright and trademark are not the same thing. She trademarked these. She didn't copyright them. You can't copyright these kind of phrases. You can trademark them.
Prince said Party Like It's 1999 before she was even the half of a stain on a trailer.
Yeah, what is she hoping to gain out of this? Like,
well, money, obviously.
She's the only person who can put that on an item. Like,
oh yes, Kat, I'm glad you brought that up. You would think maybe T-shirts, right?
Sure.
Well, some of the items that specifically are now banned from having these phrases on them are typewriters, walking sticks, non-medicated toiletries, Christmas stockings, knitting implements, pot holders, lanyards, aprons, whale bones, napkin holders, and the particularly ominous collection of whips, harnesses, and saddlery.
So no space balls, the toilet paper is what we're saying.
Well, it depends. Non-medicated toiletries. I like that specific. That's oddly specific. So medicated toiletries, you can now emblazon with This Sick Beat or Party Like It's 1989, only if it's a medicated toiletry, though.
I'm not sure that makes sense.
Me either, but it specifically is in the wording non-medicated toiletries.
So weird.
Yeah.
Question.
I'm not sure I can answer it, but I'll try.
Whale bones?
Whale bones.
So, not products made from whale bones, but like just actual whale bones. If you're selling them, you cannot use any of those as your slogan for whale bones. Am I understanding that correctly?
If I'm reading this right, yes. And she actually has trademarked 1989 from her album. Now, obviously that means you can still use 1989, but if you say 1989 in reference to her record, 1989, you have to include the trademark logo because she's trademarked that as the title of her album.
Wow.
Well,
is this not a celebrity who's gone, yeah, I'll say it, fucking stupidly crazy?
It happens. I mean, I don't want to compare Taylor Swift to Howard Hughes or someone like that, but when someone gets really rich and really famous really young, it leads to really fucking crazy down the line. This is actually pretty tame compared to some of the other shit we've seen from people that got rich and famous really young. I still am holding Taylor Swift accountable for doing something this stupid. I can kind of understand like where she's coming from.
Also, it makes me want to try to sell dolphin bones using all of that shit as my slogan just because I can.
Well, what I want to see is I want to see Kanye West come in and interrupt her and start trademarking shit of hers. But don't you think that this trademarking specific things has gone too far? I mean, hell, just this week, there is a beer called Rated R Beer. They got a cease and desist from the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America. They say, we own the trademark on Rated R. You can't call your beer Rated R. Is this shit not getting out of control with this whole trademark nonsense? I mean, hell, you can't even call something Zilla anymore and have a lizard on it without Toho sending you a cease and desist because they own Godzilla. Eventually, every phrase is going to be trademarked by some rich, arrogant fuck, the same way that one lady tried to trademark I Can't Breathe?
We'll just go with yes.
A little more
sorry,
in depth.
I could elaborate, but you kind of already expounded a bit on it. It's like, I don't think we're ever going to really get to the point where everything is going to be trademarked. Certainly, there are people who need to fucking step back and just not do it at all because they suck. I honestly wonder if that was, like, Taylor Swift going out of her way to be a douche, or, like, Taylor Swift's agent going, how can I make my client even more money? Let me go do this.
Well, neither would surprise me.
Well, then let's go to Los Angeles and talk about ignoring reality. In Los Angeles, because of fracking, there is a, quote, black sludge and sediment coming out of the water faucets there. It's disgusting, according to one of the residents. It's disgusting, and it looks like there's charcoal in the water. It has a strange odor. The city says it's still safe to drink.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
It's thick like you use too much instant coffee in one cup. It smells, it's black, and it has a sludge-like consistency. And the city is saying, nothing wrong with it. It's safe to drink. Yeah, safe to drink my ass.
Well, obviously not right away. I'm not an idiot, but I would run some tests. But what this is reminding me of is, do you guys remember what just an incredible asshole the mayor of Amityville was in Jaws?
Mm-hmm. Amity Island. Amityville had the ghost. Amity Island had the shark. Two totally separate places, Charlie.
Okay. Amity Island, to be specific. But do you remember what just a fucking greedy, cold-hearted asshole the mayor was? Like, that willing to put people in danger just to avoid having to deal with a problem? That's kind of happening in real life now.
I'm not closing the beaches.
It's the 4th of July. Can't close the beaches on the 4th of July.
Yeah, all I can say to this city is take off that fucking hat, Harry.
One of the residents described this as light brown, gooey, gobby spiderweb stuff. That was a quote. Would you?
And I quote.
Would you willingly drink that just because? Okay, first, it's black.
Well, to be fair, she doesn't work in marketing, I'm assuming.
Probably not, but
she's not a professional.
But there gets to a point where you have to go, okay, the city, I realize you're getting millions of dollars from fracking money. I realize this. How stupid do you think we are? I mean, are you going to go and cook your spaghetti in this black sludge? Because the city's like, well, it's technically water still. Go ahead. Take a shower in it. Feed it to your animals. How dumb do they think people are?
The answer is very, and the other answer would be very, very, very. Did they confirm that this incident is related to fracking specifically? Because
no,
we can guess, yeah, probably, but do we know for certain?
No, but it's just they started fracking recently, and then the black sludge started coming up. Those things probably are not coincidentally timed.
Post hoc ergo proctor hoc.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, ever since I got my own tiger, there has been a 100% increase in tiger attacks in my apartment.
But according to the government, those two things aren't necessarily related. You have not proved a correlation, Charlie.
Right. And tigers are safe. Look at them. They're like big cats.
Yeah, ask Siegfried and Roy. So I don't know. I wouldn't drink the black sludge. But speaking of black sludge, how about we go to Seattle, where a police officer, a female police officer, seemed to have lost her mind in the middle of a rally. Now, there was a rally about Black Lives Mattering. It was completely peaceful. The police were called in just for crowd control. And this one female officer on a bike no less. This is a fucking bike cop. Just started Rend after the rally broke up, people were just dispersing. She just randomly started pepper spraying people, screaming, "Stay back! Stay back! Stay back! Stay back!" Which you can see in the video, that's the way she's yelling it for people that are yards away from her, just walking past her. They're nowhere near her. They're not making any violent moves. They're just walking past her on their cell phones, and she starts pepper spraying them, going, "Stay back! Stay back! Stay back!" Little bit of freaking the fuck out. Maybe this cop might have just snapped in front of everybody. Or maybe she's afraid of black people because it was all black people and it's a white cop. Did you guys watch this video?
I really don't have the heart to watch that video. It's, I really don't understand if, like, all the cops in this country have just gone insane lately or what. Because that's all we're hearing about on the news is, like, cops just doing terrible things. And I feel like it's been going on for a long time, but we've never really talked about it until now. But it really just does seem like all of the crazy is coming out of the woodwork, and that's all we hear about now.
Well, I mean, we've heard a lot of stories like this on the show. Every time I recommend that the police just in general get a better screening process, I'm not going to do that this time. This time I'm going to take a step back and recommend that they get a screening process, any screening process. They don't seem to have one.
But, okay, now, I'm not calling racism on this because we don't know if this was, I mean, it was obviously a racial rally, you know, Black Lives Matter, mostly black participants, most of the cops are white. But this just seems like, I mean, you watch the video and the cop just seems like she snapped, like, I mean, these people are just not even near her. They're not making any threatening moves. It's like she just wanted to pepper spray somebody and she found a reason. One of the other cops in the video standing behind her, he doesn't stop her, almost seems to roll his eyes like, "Oh shit, Kathy's going off again."
I think it might be cool for the show if we took like a quick break and all watch that video. I'd kind of like to see it now.
Well, I did. I actually researched things.
Well, yeah, you're the host.
I'm watching it right now. Like, it's literally, it's just like people just walking by.
Yeah, they're all calm. They're on their cell phones. No one's even paying attention to her, and she's just freaking the fuck out, isn't she?
Yeah, the other cops are like, ugh.
Oh, God, it's her time of the month. Just let her go.
That's why she doesn't have a gun. That's not even real pepper spray.
Is pepper spray the new Barney Fife? Is that like what you do? Keep your one bullet in your shirt pocket?
Yeah, that's kind of how I could see how that would fit. I mean, I don't know why. It seems like such a good idea for people like that to be cops. If you're going to lose your shit at the first sign of anything, I mean, they didn't give you a gun. They didn't give you a car. That's why.
You're a bike cop. Do you know that there's only one form of police officer that's less respected than the bike cop? The horse cop.
Yeah, but at least for the horse cop, you do look kind of cool going around on a horse.
Yeah, you cannot look cool on a 10-speed.
No, you don't have to train a 10-speed. I respect horse cops way more than bike cops. That's just a machine. They are on top of a gigantic killing animal.
And also, in a movie, you can just, like, have the hero steal the cop's horse, and then the hero looks totally awesome. So we have, like, sort of an association of horse cops have some purpose, even if it's just to have their horses stolen by superheroes and stuff.
Yeah, how shitty would that chase scene in True Lies be if not for that horse? That was awesome.
That's the movie I was thinking of, too.
Yes. Right?
I'm not going to pepper spray anybody, but we are going to take a break so Charlie can watch the video.
We'll be right back. Welcome to Heart Attack. I am Hart T. Fisher. We got one hell of a barn burner of a show. I got to say, Josh, I'm completely blown away. I've been living in Highland Park for 15 years now. I've always said this is a great town to shoot in. And now I'm finding television and movies are shooting the shit out of Highland Park. And I keep seeing it pop up in all kinds of weird places. I'll be watching Sons Anarchy, and my hot dog place where I go is in the back of Sons Anarchy, and where I get my pastries from is in the Sons Anarchy. And it's just funny how these things show up in these shows. And so I'm watching VHS Viral, which is a series, VHS 1 and 2. I know you said you didn't like 1, and I understand that. I think they've gotten better from 1 to 2 to 3. Each one's gotten better. And frankly, I liked VHS Viral quite a bit. I even liked it more than the ABCs of Death. But it was weird because I'm watching a thing about skateboard kids, and dude, it's all Highland Park, like literally like right around my house. It's right around where I live. And funny, where I drive by, there's a scene where they're skateboarding, and there's these white garages with red trim, and the skateboard kids are hanging out there all the time. I've driven by them shooting their skateboard stuff forever. So I'm wondering if it's the same group of kids that made this short, Bone Storm, I think is it's called. And I really liked VHS Viral. I thought it was really good. So it kind of blew my mind. I'm like, damn, this shit
is... Is it weirder when you see some of the landmarks in your area on Justified, since that's supposed to be fucking Kentucky?
Yeah, I know. I laughed my ass off watching it, because Justified, Criminal Minds, I recognize the architecture of Pasadena, South Pasadena, Eagle Rock, all around here where they're shooting these things, and I'm going, that's not an Illinois house. That's not Louisiana. Or how about Louisiana is a fucking dry county. There's no fucking bars in Louisiana. There's a private club, maybe, but there ain't no bars, you fucking dumb fucks at Justified.
Texas Chainsaw 3 was shot in California, you know, with the great mountains of Texas.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. It's a trip seeing this stuff, because like the Spider Baby house that has now shown up in Insidious is down the street from me, too. And I used to walk by it to go to my local video hut to rent movies. So it's a trip seeing my neighborhood transfer into the fantasies. You know what I mean? It's weird. And speaking of a trip, I'm reading about here about, it's an article in the Huffington Post, and I think everybody should check this out. There's been a lot of talk about the missing students in Mexico. 43 students, college students, who are politically active, went missing, and they haven't been able to find them, and they think that these kids are dead. And the story goes that they believe the mayor of this town is the one who's corrupt and crooked, and he didn't want anybody messing up his political rally, so he had his cop thugs grab these kids, and the kids turned the cops turned the kids over to drug dealer gangs, and everybody thinks they're dead. Well, it turns out in the investigations of this, on October 14th, a group of 10 municipal police officers from, and I'm going to massacre this word, Iguala, I-G-U-A-L-A, pardon me, I'm a white guy, were arrested and detained at an installation in Tlaxcala, T-L-A-X-C-A-L-A, where they were allegedly beaten and given electric shocks by large men dressed in black and wearing hood.
That are being beaten, people, not exactly. The cops beating, which is an interesting turn.
This is really kind of freaky to me because, again, in 2003, I went on a lecture tour through Mexico, real Mexico, not fucking Tijuana. I went down to Mexico City. I lectured at a very big, huge comic convention. I got to hang out with Sergio Argonés, one of my favorite artists from Mad Magazine, had dinner with him. It was a real major deal for me to be down there. I learned a lot about Mexico. I learned a lot about the Mexican people from having them bring me to their homes and introduce me to their families. And I got to stay away from the tourist traps. And we traveled by van. And one of the schools we lectured at was at Tlaxcala, the University of Tlaxcala. And at this university, you weren't allowed to have tattoos. You weren't allowed to curse. You weren't allowed to drink. You weren't allowed to have long hair. And there I was lecturing, cursing with tattoos, long hair down to my ass, a fuck you t-shirt. And yes, I was drinking while I was lecturing. And one of the things we talked about with these students was the artist's responsibility for violence in the real world in a post-Columbine world. And we talked at length with these kids about questioning authority, how you have to question authority, how you cannot believe the story you've been sold, how you must dig in on your own. You can't just believe what you've been fed. And it's kind of weird for me. And I wonder if any of those people I'd influenced or any of those teachers had influenced these students. And it's kind of a weird thing to tell people to stand up for themselves and to tell people to face down authority and to tell people to get politically active. And then they do, and they're murdered for it. And many people believe these kids that were tortured to death and they don't know what's happened to them. And now this whole situation is so bad, the Mexican government is literally torturing the police officers they think are involved. They said that medical reports have cited saying that police officers left their interrogation sessions with various injuries, including scabs on their forearms, busted lips, extensive bruising, and marks indicating electric shocks. And many of them have reported being repeatedly questioned while they were tortured. And it's, I would have to say that if you're a police officer and you think that you are going to be protected by your corrupt government, if you are out torturing people or you're out beating people, you've crossed the line. You're over the line. You're in the dark side.
I'm against torture, but I am too, man. I can't feel bad for these cops. Let's say for the sake of argument that they did it. A lot of the evidence is pointing to that they pulled a Mississippi Burning on these kids. I can't feel bad when the tables get turned like that. I know that's, you know, a bad liberal of me, but I can't.
It is bad. I look at it as the breakdown of law and rule of men. If you're running around torturing people as the government, and you're, what you have to understand, Josh, is we don't know who's complicit. We don't know who's innocent and who's guilty. And what these guys are doing is they're torturing everybody. They don't know who's guilty. They don't know who did it. So they're torturing people to find out. And when you do that, Josh, you will torture innocent people. Because once you start seeing everybody as a nail, there's only one solution, and that's the hammer. And that's a bad way to go. I don't advocate this at all. I would say this is a warning to everybody in the police department, everybody who serves in the military. If your government has you doing bad things, remember, they might turn around and do bad things to you. And that's a fact of the matter. We know, I was watching a CIA movie last night with Nicolas Cage, and it's kind of a granted thing. We know that if our agents or our operatives or our special forces guys are caught in a mission gone bad, America will leave them to die. America will leave them to suffer in their secrecy. To understand.
I'm not trying to degrade this, but Mission Impossible. If you are captured, we will disavow any knowledge of you. You're on your fucking own.
It's pretty bad when you look at it. And you're not talking about one cop being tortured here. You're talking like this on October 14th. You're talking about a group of 10 guys. These are 10 guys who've been beaten and tortured all day long. And they might have done this to other people. And that's the thing I'm trying to get across here.
That's why I can't feel bad for them.
It's not about feeling bad, Josh. It's about, this is a message to anybody in authority who thinks that their authority will protect them. It won't. Look at these cops in Mexico. They're being tortured by their own government, their own guys. And you can see that behavior here in America. When we had a whistleblower in New York who wore a wire on cops who were doing illegal search and seizures, who were illegally arresting people, who were illegally beating people, his own brother officers kidnapped him and he was taken off to an insane asylum in Jamaica. How the fuck they get him out of the country and put him in an insane asylum in Jamaica? I have some police friends here in Los Angeles in the LAPD and out of the LAPD, and they've told me they thought they were brothers in brood. They thought they were until political desires overweighed the brotherhood. The political desires will outweigh the military. They will outweigh the police. If you want to make a change, if you want to enact change, you must go for the head. You must take out the politicians in a manner that you can put in better politicians who have a better respect for the law, who have more respect for human values. This is really wrong on the part of the Mexican government. They should not be torturing their own people. And this is the dangerous road of torture. This is why you do not want the American government torturing anybody. You don't want it. It's a bad, bad row to walk down. I'm Hart D. Fisher. You've been listening to Heart Attack. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm on Twitter at Heart Attack Radio. I'm also on there under my own name, at Hart_Fisher.
It's 2015, and all the monsters are watching. They're watching American Horrors. Every Thursday, catch Paranormal Investigations hit Mission Terror, along with short horror films Snake with a Human Tail, Pawn Hearts, Ectoplasm, Second Self, and more. Look for American Horrors in the horror section at filmon.com. We'll be right back.
Everybody knows the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with the fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight is fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows the boat is sinking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody's got this broken feeling, like their mama or the dog just died. Everybody's hands are in their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody
we have another responsible gun owner this week, people. A 59-year-old in Pennsylvania, he was shopping at the grocery store with his loaded 320 automatic pistol, and he dropped it, and it went off. The store cleared out because they thought a shooting was going down, and so the police and SWAT units were called because an asshole had to go shopping with their gun. What? I'm going to ask it again. Open carry. What is fucking wrong with you people?
I really don't understand this at all. It, I don't. Okay, so obviously the safety wasn't on, And it's like, if responsible people were the ones, you know, if open carry was limited to responsible people, then I might be maybe an iota okay with it. But clearly somebody is going around just doing his grocery shopping and is feels so threatened just by going to the grocery store that he's got to carry a loaded gun with the safety off. And then he somehow is not responsible enough not to drop it. I understand that accidents happen, but like if I knock my cup of tea over, nobody gets shot. If I, you know, like...
Then you haven't made the right kind of tea.
Lemon zinger.
Boom goes my tea for some reason. Usually if you're a little bit clumsy and you have an accident, you should be the only person that gets hurt. This could have killed somebody. It's actually a fucking miracle that it didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, I mean, open carry, just time and time again, like how many times has it come up just on this show, like just what we can catch of it? How many times has open carry gone to just prove the point of people that are against open carry? People that are screaming the loudest about their gun rights are continuing to prove over and over again that they should not have a gun.
Hell, last year, a guy in a Home Depot, he dropped his gun and it went off and it shot him in the ass. In California, a woman accidentally shot her husband in the head by dropping her gun. A man in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at a Walmart, dropped his gun and hit the floor and blew his own toes off. Hey, people, there are safeties. As Kat pointed out, there are safeties. You are not responsible, gun owners, you fucking arrogant pricks.
And just so you know, every time I hear about a huge, huge gun advocate in an open carry state accidentally shooting off part of himself, I think about it while I jerk off.
Well, speaking of jerking off, do you guys all remember Holly Fisher? She was known on the internet as Holly Hobby Lobby. She was the pro-God guns and country woman that posed in front of her an American flag holding a Bible and an AR-15. And then she also wore very proudly her pro-life shirt while eating Chick-fil-A in front of the Hobby Lobby when it was upheld that they don't have to provide contraception because she's all for God's guns and country. You guys remember her?
Is this the same person that they always like put like side by side in memes like next to a terrorist?
Yep.
And they're like, point out the difference?
Yeah, yep.
Ah, yes, I know
that is the same Holly Fisher. And she constantly preaches about the Bible and the tenets of the Bible. Oh, yeah, it turns out while they were at a Christian coalition get-together last year, she cheated on her enlisted husband. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't you just love the hypocrisy of religion?
Christian values are pretty hot.
Christian values are very hot. And now she's saying it's all those vengeful people out there to get her, that were out to get her, that put her in this position and destroyed her self-esteem so much that she let herself fall prey to the devil and the temptation.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I mean, it's not even that I want to shoplift from Hobby Lobby. It's just when shit like that happens, it's the only thing that feels right, you know?
Well, here's the thing. She was going to a, quote, Restoring the Dream event, a faith and freedom conference on election night 2014 when all this happened. She says she still fights for conservative issues and that she's made a mistake and is looking for forgiveness. I don't think she should be forgiven. She's a fucking hypocrite. She's a piece of shit. And she just proves that all Christians care about is themselves.
Well, I mean, all Christians, that's a bit harsh. Oh, she's obviously a very poor Christian. She's not very good at it because she's a bitch. And that's not really what the religion should be about, but a lot of it turns out to be that way. She's not a good person. She's just not a good person. And I think even giving her a moment of spotlight is way more than she deserves.
I don't know if we should all just forget about her, because sometimes it's nice to see that line just to remind yourself that you have a line. The only thing that would make this better, like the best cherry on top of all of this that I could ever ask for, is if she got pregnant but wouldn't have if Hobby Lobby had covered contraception in their health plans.
That would be more ironic than Alanis Morissette getting knocked up on a pullout couch. Well, then let's talk tonight about our final topic, which is a more serious and is a deeper question. Chris Kyle, an American Sniper. American Sniper, the movie, is touting itself constantly as a true story. Of course, the fact that it has no facts in it, it makes a hero out of one of the most disgusting human beings that has come out of the Iraq war. It's not even 20, according to people who knew Kyle, it's not even 20% accurate to truth. And yet, there are people who, after seeing American Sniper, are going, my God, this Chris Kyle was a true American hero. This man is everything an American soldier should be, except for the fact that the movie is all lies and is also helping to whip up anti-Muslim hate. Because after people that are seeing American Sniper, they have seen threats to Muslim groups in America go up 1,000%. Since American Sniper has come out. Is it worth twisting the lies and making a vile, hate-filled, murdering liar into a hero all to push an agenda? Is this right, what's happening to Chris Kyle? That he is, instead of being vilified for the horrendous human being he was, he is being made out to be a fucking American icon?
It blows my mind that anybody walks into a theater to see a movie that says it's based on a true story and actually believes that any content is actually based on a true story. Like, you have to know when you go into a theater that anything based on a true story is going to be a lot of not truth. So first off, that people even believe that blows my mind. I haven't informed myself enough about what was in the movie versus what really happened to determine that this guy was just truly awful. But I do kind of take issue with deifying people who kill other people. I'm not going to lie. I think, patriotism is great most of the time. And I do believe that there are great men in wars. But celebrating death is not really a good thing.
I'm going to read a couple of quotes from Chris Kyle's book, okay? This is Chris Kyle's words. He's talking about fighting in Iraq. My shot saved several Americans whose lives were clearly worth more than that one woman's twisted evil soul after he blew a Muslim woman's head off. Savage, despicable evil, that's what we were fighting in Iraq. I wish I had killed more than I actually did. He was asked a question, did it bother you killing so many people in Iraq? No, I loved what I did. I'm not lying or exaggerating to say that it was fun. None of that's in the movie. The movie is all about the tortured soul and the cost it takes when you take another life and what it costs of you. And the Chris Kyle in American Sniper is a true American hero who doesn't want to do what he's doing but is forced into this position, wants to save as many lives on both sides as possible. The real Chris Kyle was nothing like the person in the fucking movie.
Okay, well, let me see if I got a handle on all this. You're telling me that a movie came out that claimed to be based on a true story that may have bent the truth in certain areas.
Most areas.
Okay. B, you're telling me that a movie that seems anti-Muslim was directed by an almost comically old white man. You're telling me that C, someone who enlisted on purpose to go overseas and kill people may have turned out to be a very violent guy. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I sure shit my pants. None of this is surprising me. This sort of seems like the way things have always been. And the people that are now threatening Muslim groups because of this movie, I don't think they were one Bradley Cooper movie away from fucking losing their shit. I think if it wasn't American Sniper, it would have been Birdman or Boyhood, anything else. These people do not need much to be pushed over the line.
But why do you think then, though, that Kyle is being deified? That people are not even willing to look at, like, using his own words. I mean, the man has been caught lying multiple times. Most of what's in his autobiography is complete bullshit. He's made it up. I mean, he lost the case in court about the story he made up about Jesse Ventura. He claims that during Hurricane Katrina, he went and was on top of the Superdome sniping looters. The police say, yeah, that never happened. He claimed he killed two carjackers who tried to carjack him outside of Texas, where he left their bodies on the side of the road. The police say that never happened. This guy was a confirmed liar. He was a confirmed scumbag. And yet the right wing is turning him into You should all be like Chris Kyle. Chris Kyle is what a true American hero should be. And anytime people try and point out that he was not what the right wing is making him are, they pull out the same attack that was used on me when I started ranting about this. How dare you slander a dead, decorated American soldier you've never served? You don't have the right to talk about Chris Kyle. Since when do facts not factor in to a scumfuck like this? Is that just, is that wearing blinders?
You're asking the, say, conservative media to recognize fact? I'm waiting for them to start.
I'm going to read a couple more quotes from our American hero here. Cheap thrills in Iraq were priceless. I'd drive a vehicle towards them and they would scream and bolt away. It was hilarious. I grabbed my pistol and went to confront the criminal. No son of a bitch was going to break into my house and live to tell about it. It was like a scene from Dumb and Dumber. The bullet went through the first guy and into the second. Two guys with one shot. The taxpayer got good bang for his buck on that one. There was a little bit of competition between myself and some of the other snipers during this deployment to see who got the most kills. I did want to be the top sniper. He's going to break your record, some of them would tell me. You better get on that gun more. I told the Army colonel, I don't shoot people with Korans. I'd like to, but I don't. I guess I was a little hot. On the front of my arm, I had a Crusader cross inked in. I wanted everyone to know that I was a Christian. I had put it in red for blood. I hated the damn savages I'd been fighting. I always will. They've taken so much from me. This is the American hero the right wing is fucking deifying.
People are always going to try to deify people like that as long as there are legions of soldier-sniffing military fetishists in this country that are just willing to believe that shit. This country is full of people with no sense of identity of their own. They just want someone to look up to. They want someone to emulate. And this was just an easy target. This was someone that Clint Eastwood was making a movie about.
I see what you did there, easy target.
It's someone that Clint Eastwood was making a movie about. It's someone that Bradley Cooper was going to be playing. It's someone who was going to be popular. And that's all that matters to enough people. I mean, there are thousands upon thousands of people out there that are just going to see this movie and say, well, that's all I need to know about him. No reason to look into it further. I'm just going to worship him and then go about my fucking mindless existence. This country is full of them. That's why this continues to happen. That's why people deify them, because we're living in a nation of enablers, letting them do it.
But then why do you think that people are so blind to hearing the truth? That anytime any of this stuff comes up, it's slandering a soldier. I mean, why are soldiers off limits to be scumbags? Just like in any profession, there are great soldiers out there. Just like there are great cops. But there are also scumbag cops and scumbag soldiers. The right wing seems to have this, he was a soldier, that means he's a fucking hero, shut your goddamn un-American whore mouth.
I don't know what it is about soldiers that we as a nation really do. We worship war. We just genuinely do. As long as we feel self-righteous enough, we worship war. Because that's, like, when we talk about our history, that's all we want to talk about, is wars that we've won.
That's why we don't want to talk about Nam, the one we didn't win.
Yeah, Vietnam was a tie.
It's okay, we didn't lose it, we tied, sorry.
And it seems like that's one of the most American things that you can do is to... I like to also think this is just the super, super Christian thing about our nation is being a martyr. And to be a soldier and to put your life on the line is like the ultimate. It's patriotism, it's martyrdom, it's all these things that we love and we worship as a country, even though it's kind of fucked up to think about. And to slander that which we just love so much, is I can see why people would get upset about it. There's no logic to it, but that's just the way people are. I'm not saying it's okay, I'm just saying people are messed up.
Doesn't that mean American Sniper, the film, equals to almost a propaganda piece, because it's all pro rah rah America, how great this Chris Kyle was. It leaves out all of the bad parts, and it's whipping up anti-Muslim fervor and enlistments. There have been a spike in enlistments of people that want to be like Chris Kyle, the Chris Kyle of American Sniper, hopefully, and not the Chris Kyle, the hate-filled lying murderer. Well, does that make this a propaganda film, then?
Every movie is propaganda. Every movie has a message that it's pushing. This one just happens to have real-life ramifications in terms of people volunteering to go get killed when they probably don't need to, And I don't know, just trying to drum up support for the military. Nothing that we've talked about so far has been a surprise to me. None of this is news. If we as a culture just sort of stopped needing role models, sort of started just developing our own sense of identity, if we stopped needing heroes, then there wouldn't be so many fucking fake ones in the world.
American Sniper is the triumph of the will for American jingoism.
I don't know, because then you have to think about every single war movie that's ever come out, and you'd have to look and go, oh, has there been a spike of enlistment since Fury came out? And since this movie came out and that movie, and we put out war movies all the fucking time. Because again, we worship war in our own messed up way. Very few movies actually tell war from more than one perspective. It's kind of like Charlie said, every movie is propaganda if you want it to be there hard enough.
The thing that bothers me about this whole thing is just how they're deifying Kyle and attacking him. I mean, Chris Kyle, yes, he's dead. He died in a shooting range accident in 2012. So technically he can't defend himself. And people are saying, well, he can't defend himself. So you're being a coward attacking him. Chris Kyle's father has outright said he will personally beat to death every single person he ever meets that says anything bad about his war hero son. I get it that Chris Kyle's dad refuses to see the truth. It really pains me that the American public refuses to see the truth, and they see it as attempting to break down and slander an American hero. Doesn't matter that we have facts on our side. He's an American hero to the bulk of the American public, and it sickens me that this is our American hero.
Because I don't worship warriors like that. If I'm gonna, you know, like pick my hero, it's gonna be like a fictional superhero.
I figured you'd go with Mal Reynolds.
Well, yeah. Not necessarily the best person, but yeah. This is honestly, it's nothing new. It is not a single thing different than the rest of history. History is written by the victors, and it doesn't matter how much evidence you have to say differently. That's what people are going to remember. I mean, there are much worse things you can do. For example, you could worship the actual person and not this made up version of them. There are worse idols to have, is what I'm saying. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just the way things are.
Do you think this is just America being so desperate to try and find a hero that they essentially made one up? I mean, isn't Chris Kyle almost the David Manning of war propaganda now?
That would make sense. I mean, he definitely, the guy that Bradley Cooper plays definitely had, like, seems as real as David Manning did. I don't know. I think if you see this movie and you're really inspired and everything, and you're not willing to do any independent research of your own just to see if maybe they fudge the facts in a few areas here, then you deserve your ignorance.
I couldn't have put it better. You deserve your ignorance, and I think that's what you're going to get, but I also think that's a dangerous position for America to take, but you're not wrong.
It's a dangerous position for America to take, but it's a very easy position for Americans to take.
Kat, if people wanted to find you and see how factually accurate you are, where would they do that?
Well, you can find me factually accurately fangirling on Twitter at Labyrinth. Cat, and I had nothing there.
You covered pretty decent.
I was just like, what can I possibly say? Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can also find my other shows, Thespian Talk over on RTGomer.com and Nerd to the Third Power over on ChannelAwesome.com.
Where can we find Charlie?
Especially inaccurate when I say when I'm girling. You can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, at geekjuicemedia.com. You can download my first album for free. It's called Zen as Fuck. And if you live in Colorado, get to Colorado Springs March 26th, 27th, and 28th, where I will be recording my second album. Be there, loonies, guys.
If it's half as good as the first, it'll be half as good as the first.
That's what I'm going for, being realistic about it.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Go buy some t-shirts. You want to be a true American hero? Get a weapon of ass destruction from adamandeve.com. Then you'll be a true American hero. Not like Chris Kyle, who will just destroy your ass.
what a beautiful moment it'll be when your wife walks into the bedroom and says, I'm going to waterboard your dick.
Is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.